attended who are seeking to help us know how to better serve and lead the church together. And I'm going to ask them to stand, but also these women would love to hear from you over the coming months if you have ideas about what this might look like. This is a conversation that's going on in our denomination. There's a big paper that's been written about it, and so they are available and would love to talk with you. So these women are Eileen O'Gorman, if you would stand, and Angela Finan, and Christy Sawyer, and Patty Mitticky, who is also, I believe, upstairs with the kids. So, and Angela's probably up with the kids, too. So, all right, thank you all for serving. There's Angela. Wave your hand, Angela. We just introduced you. All right. Thank you for serving. We're going to look at God's Word together in just a moment. So let's pray together, would you? Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the good things that we've seen this morning of how you grow your church, of how you bless your family. Lord, we thank you that you've given us your Word. Lord, we thank you that you have spoken, you have revealed yourself, so we don't have to walk around in the dark. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to hear from you this morning. Lord, open our eyes, soften our hearts, be with my mouth, Lord, that we might hear from you and walk as your children. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, the service has been a little bit unusual. It's also going to continue to stay a little bit unusual here for the next little while. And the reason is I'm going to preach a shorter than normal sermon. Amen. All right. And then we're going to pray. We're actually going to have a time of prayer at the end of it because this is the last Sunday that I'm here for 3 months. If you haven't been following the church wonderfully, thank you all. To you, the church, to the elders and the deacons and the staff, to the Lilly Foundation, a nonprofit organization that's funding this. My wife and I, we will be away on Sundays for about 3 months, visiting other churches. We'll be traveling a lot. And my hope for myself, after 10 years of being here regularly, I think the longest I've ever been away on a Sunday is 3 weeks. But after 10 years is that stepping away would be what I'm calling, it kind of relates to what Randy was talking about, a time to disconnect in order to more deeply connect. And I need to more deeply connect with God, first of all, with myself even, in a sense of who am I, with my family, with my friends. And you all have affirmed that, and I just want to say thank you for that opportunity. Also want to just say how thankful I am for Pastor Roy and for all of the staff here, for the elders and the deacons, because I'm eager, not just for myself, but for the church. I believe it's going to be a very good time for the congregation of fruitful growth and ministry. Wonderfully, we believe that Jesus is the head of the church, right? And that he calls all of you, actually, to the works of ministry. And he gives other people to lead and to serve. So in a really beautiful way, the church is not dependent on any one individual other than Jesus. So I'm looking forward to hearing what the Lord does here. I will confess it's going to be strange. People are asking me, what are you thinking? And I don't really know what to think. I don't know what to feel. I've never done this before. I'm eager, but also even being here this morning, having coffee with people this morning. You know, Paul said to the Philippians, he wrote to them and he said, I have you in my heart. And I feel that. And I want to just say I thank God for you. Thank God for the way that we're connected. I love you as a pastor, but also as a friend. And so I want to ask for your prayers during this season and also say I'm eager for it and I'm going to miss you. All right? Amen. Related to this, the sermon this morning is going to focus on a prayer in Colossians. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at Colossians chapter 1. And this wonderful picture of the gospel, of understanding that God wants us to be awake and oriented, we talked about, awake and oriented to who we are. We're in Christ. We're in his family. We're in this world, but we're on our way to the new heavens and the new earth. We're saints who are being sanctified. And this passage today is a prayer that's in the middle of Colossians 1. So I'm going to read it. It's in your bulletin. And also, hopefully you received this card when you came in. Did everybody get one of these? If you didn't, I think they'll be in the hallway. But this has the scripture passage on one side, and on the other side, a list of prayer requests for the whole summer. I want to ask you to pray for me, to pray for Pastor Roy, to pray for one another, to pray for your families, and very much encouraging you to pray along the lines of this prayer in Colossians 1, verses 9 through 14. So let's read it together this morning. Paul says, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." It's a good prayer, isn't it? Wow, what if we pray that for one another? What would the Lord do? You know, prayer is difficult work, right? And Scripture says that prayer is actually engaging a battle. It's pretty different than what we sometimes hear in our culture. If somebody's going through a difficult time or if there's a natural disaster, it's regular for us to hear somebody say, "You are in our thoughts and prayers," right? And that can be wonderful, but it can also be just kind of a kind sentiment, right? So I don't know what else to say. You're in my thoughts and prayers. Prayer in the Bible is actually going before the Creator of the universe, who loves you and invites you to bring your needs before Him. And so we want to cry out along the lines of this prayer for one another, for our church. We were actually talking and praying about this at staff prayer, and Randy came by and we were talking about it. And I said, "What do you think when you see this prayer?" And he said, "There's a gap. There's a gap between this, bearing fruit, increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened, giving thanks, and my day-to-day reality." Do you feel that gap? Do you see that gap? Prayer is calling out to God to say, "Lord, by your grace, shrink that gap. Accomplish this in my life." And the summary, in one sense, of this prayer that Paul is praying is what we want to pray for one another is that we would walk in a certain way. He says that at the beginning, right? There are 4 points that he kind of unpacks, but he says that you would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So I ask a question. Can you do things to be worthy of the Lord's love? Can you earn His grace? The grace of God is an undeserved gift, right? We don't walk in a certain way to earn the love and the favor of God. So what's Paul talking about here? John Piper has studied all of the places in the Bible where this idea of walking worthy is found. And here's what he says. He says that it doesn't mean that we walk in order to deserve something from the Lord, but that because of His grace to us, He deserves something from us. So in other words, walking worthy means that we carry ourselves in a way that reflects who God is and what He has done for us. Now think about this. You can walk in a couple of different ways, right? If I was an actor, I would demonstrate a whole bunch of walks here. I'm not going to put you through that. But imagine a child who walks up to a parent. This is an anonymous child, never one of my own children, of course, or your child. But a child who walks up to you, and some of you dads can maybe have this, right? Your kids walk up to you and they kind of walk up, "Daddy, I love you so much." Daddy, you're the best. And what are you thinking, Dad? What do you want? Huh? They have walked right up to you in a way that they're trying to get something from you. Right? Now, imagine you're at the park with your child, with this same little girl. And it's a beautiful day, and the birds are chirping, and the flowers are blooming. And this, you've been holding hands, and there is this harmony in your relationship. And this child is resting in the security of your love and your protection. And they let go of your hand to just skip off and chase a butterfly. Right? Are they trying to get something from you in that moment? They're walking out of the joy and the delight of your relationship, your love, your security. When we walk before the Lord, we carry ourselves and respond to the Lord's grace. It's walking not to get something from God, but it's walking because of what we have already received from Him. You see that at the end of this passage, right? If you just jump down to the end, He has qualified you. He's qualified you. Past tense, through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, He has qualified you to share in the inheritance of saints in light. He has delivered you from the domain of darkness and transferred you into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Rest in that, church. I want to rest in that. I long for you to rest in that. When we hear about this deliverance, I think many in the first century who were God's people would have gone back to the ultimate deliverance in the Old Testament, right? The Exodus. The deliverance from slavery. And remember what the Lord says when He gives the Ten Commandments? He says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Therefore, walk a certain way, right? Don't have any other gods before me. Don't make any idols. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Why? Because I've delivered you. I have set you free to walk differently. If you're here this morning and the Lord has brought you to faith in Him, if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, confessed your sins, turned from your sins, you have been set free to walk differently. Amen? What has the Lord set you free from? Yeah? Somebody say something? Sin. The Lord has set you free from sin, from the guilt of sin, from the power of sin. What else have we been set free from, church? You can name a specific one, maybe of the person sitting next to you if you want to. That's a joke. What has the Lord set you free from? What's that? Bad attitudes. Self-righteousness. Shame. The sins of our fathers and mothers. The power of death. Amen. Set free some of you from addiction, some of you from a life of meaninglessness and purposelessness. Set free from loneliness if you've come to know the fellowship of God. And those who have been set free, delivered, transferred into this new kingdom of Jesus, do you think we should walk differently? We want to walk differently. We want to carry ourselves differently. So Paul unpacks here four ways that we can walk differently. And these are things to pursue, but really they're things to pray for and to pray for one another. First of all, bearing fruit in every good deed. I remember many of you know I used to pick blueberries growing up. And then when I graduated, I was working on what's called the shakers. And we would put this cart around the blueberry bush, one on each side, and we would literally shake the bush. We would beat it with these rubber hoses and the blueberries fall off. Y'all, my hope for my life and for you is that when we're shaken, the fruit falls off. Right? Love. Joy.
peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Pray for one another.
Good things to pray for your kids. Amen?
Fruit of the Spirit.
Of course, Jesus says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. Remain in me and you will bear fruit. He lets us know how to do it, right? Remain in me. Even this sabbatical for me, this season for you, I encourage you to water the roots and pray for the fruit. You know what I mean? Water the roots, your relationship with Jesus, your relationship with God. Go deeply with Him and pray that He would make you fruitful. Bearing fruit. Second thing here, growing in the knowledge of God. Living things grow, right? Have you noticed that? If you've got weeds in your garden, the sidewalk, I parked right over here in the parking lot this morning over at Walgreens where I do every Sunday morning. And there's a crack in the pavement. And what's happening? Stuff's growing right through it. Living things grow. And so we pray that we would grow. We would be increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, a couple of things could be in mind here. One is that we increase in knowing God more. We grow in our relationship with God. But this translation also, and I think both are true. People are discussing what is meant here. But the other is we increase, we grow by our knowledge of the Lord. Did you know that? As you get to know the Lord better, as your relationship with Him grows, your whole life grows. It flourishes. Have you seen that? Do you want to see more of it? More life, more growth. Let's pray for one another. Then he says, not only bearing fruit and growing, but being strengthened for all endurance and patience with joy. Being strengthened. I don't want to have to endure. Do you? I would rather have life aligned for me in such a way that I never have to be patient. Amen? I'm not the only one. I mean, I actually don't want to have to be strengthened. I don't want to have to endure. Another one of my kids said at one time, I want what I want when I want it, and I want you to be my servant. That's me. I mean, they get that from me, right? I want what I want when I want it, and I want everyone else to be my servant. But Jesus wants me to grow. He wants me to be more like Himself. And so the Lord actually puts us in situations that require endurance and patience and being strengthened so that we would grow. And some of you are there right now. You're facing sickness. You're facing emotional heartache. You're facing broken relationships. You're facing difficulties at work. You're facing financial challenges. Let's pray for one another that we would be strengthened. Get this, endurance and patience with joy. That's a gap I want the Lord to kind of decrease. And then finally, prayer for thankfulness. Giving thanks to God the Father, who has qualified us. Of all people, those who have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to light, who have known the love of God and His forgiveness, we have every reason to live with gratitude. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. It's said around the church here that some people on staff can tell when I'm on the building because of the way I walk. So there's somebody named Adina who says she'll know just by the way I go up the stairs who it is. I don't know exactly what that means, other than we have a walk. And we're known by our walk.
What's your walk like? What's your walk like? Is there a gap there? Bearing fruit, growing, being strengthened, giving thanks. Would you like prayer for that this morning? I need it. And as I enter this season of sabbatical, I'd love to ask you to pray for me, pray for Pastor Roy, pray for the church, pray for one another, pray this prayer for your children, for your friends, for your family, that we might grow in our walk with the Lord. Amen.